invitation to a wedding feast. $60 billion is spent in America on weddings each year. Out of that $60 billion, approximately $18 to $20 billion is spent on the food, the feasting at the wedding. Pretty important thing, food. Now, how many of you ever gone to a wedding and they just went overboard with the food? It's just amazing. And you're sitting there thinking, how on earth did they afford this? I want to talk to you about the wedding feast in the future. But before we do, I want to make a contrast to another feast. I want to talk about two feasts. One that's past and one in the future. And I want to go to Belshazzar's feast because I want to contrast it with the feast we're going to. Belshazzar's feast is a feast without God. The feast we're going to, it's all about God. So I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to just jump right in this morning. You know, just pretend it's the middle of summer and it's 95 out and you have a nice cool. We're just going to jump right in, okay? Amen. Daniel 5 verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king, his princes, his wives, and concubines might drink. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple in the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and the king and the princes and wives and concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and of brass, iron, wood, and stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the wall candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. All I can say is, wow. Then the king's countenance was changed. I bet it was. And so his thoughts troubled him. I know they did. So that the joints of his loins were loosed. Yikes. And his knees smote one against another. Oh boy. Daniel 5 verse 13. And what happened here is this was happening, and God had said it's enough. You see, when before I go on, you see when he took the goblets, the things that were dedicated to the house of God that Nebuchadnezzar took, when he took them and brought them to the feast and began to praise the gods of silver, God said, I've had enough. It's interesting here because when something was dedicated to God, God didn't take it lightly. When it was mocked, basically he was just mocking all that stuff. Not good, not good. So what happened was Nebuchadnezzar's widow, she said, okay, Belshazzar, I want you to find someone, and I know somebody that can interpret this. How many know that God always has somebody to interpret his word? So they went and they found Daniel. Now look at verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said unto Daniel, are you that Daniel, which are of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jerusalem? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellence and wisdom is found in you. Verse 18. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father's kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, language, trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew, and whom he would keep alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would put to death. Well, that's a lot of power and authority. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever He will. Now here's the clincher right here. I'm sure that Belshazzar did not want to hear this next part. Verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though you knew all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and wives and concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, or know. And the God whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, you have not glorified him. In other words, what I would say, you ought not to have done that. You should not have done that, Mom. You have crossed the line. You know, it's interesting here that Daniel, who, thrown in the lion's den, taken from captivity, served under Nebuchadnezzar, actually served under three kings. He serves under Darius in the next chapter. But this man didn't pull any punches. He said, I'm going to tell you something. You knew all this stuff, but you didn't humble yourself. You knew all this stuff, and you even knew you shouldn't be messing around with what God has sanctified and glorified. Should not have done that. So you gotta picture this. 1,000 lords, that's just the men. That's not even counting their wives. Let me tell you something about Babylon. Babylon was 7 miles in circumference. 7 miles, there was a wall that went around for 7 miles. The wall was about 100 feet tall, and there were three consecutive walls. The Hanging Gardens, the seventh wonder of the world, one of them, was there. There was no way anybody could get in there. There were 100 gates around the 7 miles that were guarded inside and outside. There were towers every so many hundred of feet. There's no how this could be advanced by an army. And so Belshazzar, who is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, he knew all these things. And he brought all of these lords together and their wives, concubines. Most commentaries say that this was nothing more than a drunken orgy. That there was so much stuff happening in the banqueting hall, out, that most commentaries agree it wasn't just people sitting at the table getting drunk, and I think you know what I mean. And so when they began to praise, he began to praise the God of silver and gold. You know, I think about today, most people don't really take their money and bow to it literally, but yet money is still, the love of money is still the root of all evil. It doesn't matter how much money I have or don't have. What matters is that I end up at the right marriage feast. This was a marriage feast that went terribly wrong. And I'm only bringing the contrast so we can understand the great feast we're going to. So Daniel interpreted this handwriting. That was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And under Darius, Daniel still was one of the main ones in there as a counselor and as a minister of the area. It's interesting that the Persians were the ones that developed crucifixion that the Romans took from. But here is a wedding feast. Here is a feast that seems like everything is going right. But God put his hand of judgment. There will come a day that God shows no more mercy. There will come a day when that hand of judgment will come against those that don't have and have not responded to his invitation. There's coming a day. I'm so glad I wasn't born back then. I'm so glad I didn't go to that feast. You know, I'm so glad that God has separated you, consecrated you out of the feast of the world. Because the wages of sin is still death. The pleasures of this life can snare us. You see, God has a better marriage feast for us. God has, you know, the moment you got saved, angels know your name now. Because they rejoice at the moment you came to the altar, the angels above start talking about you. Amen. They start saying, this one has come to Christ. They know your name in heaven. The angels do. God is so awesome. God wants us to know that the feasting of this world will end up like Belshazzar. But God says, I have another feast that's beyond this world. The invitations are going out as I speak. God invites all men. God wishes none to perish. God wishes none not to be at that marriage supper. And you know, the thing is, God is going to have a party that lasts for eternity. God is not cheap. You know, he's going to put you at a table. Your name is already on a table in eternity. Your name, as you go to a wedding to have your name is already on a table at the wedding feast. And you know what? You don't know who's going to sit next to you. You might have Ruth sitting next to you, or David, or Jacob, or one of the disciples. And we think, well, man, if I'm sitting next to them, oh, how did you do it? Guess what? They're going to be sitting next to you and say, how did you do it in the end times? How did you do it when the spirit of Antichrist was ruling? How did you do it when many left their faith? How did you do it when gross darkness comes in? There'll be no heroes at the table, only Jesus Christ the host. Give them a praise, somebody. The tables are being prepared, and God has your name on a placard right where you're going to sit. It's already done. And he knows what you like to eat. We're all not going to eat the same thing. Amen. The angel's going to serve me, first of all, the best crab cakes I've ever eaten. And the best scallops and shrimp. Amen. Going to be right there, baby. Going to be right there. Don't burn them, but don't undercook them. They're going to be right in front of you. Now, I know with you, there'll be some carrots and broccoli. So God bless you. But not me, baby. Because you have not tasted something until you tasted a heavenly crab cake. The heavenly stick. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm not going to be no vegan in heaven, hallelujah. I'll eat everything I can. And after that, I want a heavenly sundae with double chocolate cherries and whipped cream. Yes. Then I have a couple angels just walk me to my mansion. I'm not going to go to sleep. I just lay there. It's all in heaven. All in our future. But you know, the world, it's like Belshazzar's feast. Live a self-indulgent, proud life. Worship money. Worship the gold and silver that God gave us to be stewards of. Oh yeah. It's our job as the church to tell people again about the invitation. Listen, mister, listen, ma'am. If you and I miss this marriage feast, doesn't matter what I accomplished in my life. Doesn't matter if I'm a doctor. Doesn't matter if I cured cancer. Does it matter? Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is when I look across the table and you're there. When I look across the table and your children are there. Your husband's there. Your wife is there. We must do everything we can. Pray, believe, and tell others. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great feast and bade many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Everything's already up there for us. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it, I pray thee. Have me excused. It's really kind of amazing. You don't buy a piece of ground till you've seen it. That tells me the lamest excuse at the judgment seat will hold no water. That a man will be found weighed in the balances and found wanting because the grace of God is not there. The blood of Christ never touched him. Second thing, another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. You don't buy oxen till you prove them. Another lame excuse. Another said, I've married a wife, therefore I can't come. Why can't you bring your wife? Another wrong excuse. So that servant came and he showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, I want us to get this morning. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant of the Lord said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's more room. The Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my feast. The job of the church is to press past the excuses of the world and to still compel them to come in. Compel is a strong word. It's like an urgent word that's surrounded with passion. You know, Jesus gave us this parable to show us that there will be a battle between those that respond and those that don't. And if you think about it, are you serving God? Well, the reason I don't. Are you coming to church? Well, the reason I don't. Do you read your Bible? The reason I don't. Excuses are part of Belshazzar's attitude. See, he had no excuse because Daniel said, you knew all this, man. You knew it. Belshazzar, do you realize how great of a king you could have been? Do you realize if you would have humbled yourself to Nebuchadnezzar, God would have raised you up? But that night, as in a drunken stupor, he made his way to the king's chambers. That night, the Medes and the Persians came, broke through the walls, and killed him. It's interesting that one day we don't really want to project it on the screen of our imagination. But the reality is one day this world's going to be through. It's over. God has already written, not on the wall, but he's written in his word that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Hold on to the things in this world real loosely. Real loosely, because at any moment I could be sitting at my seat. So I want to just tell you, if you know Christ, your seat is reserved. And who knows who's going to sit from across from you? Who knows who's going to be at your table? Can we even fathom that? You can be sitting next to Martin Luther or Martin Luther King or John Huss or William Tyndale or John Huss, who was burned at the stake. You can be sitting next to Peter or the Apostle Paul, or maybe God will put you next to Joshua. Maybe God will coordinate the table I sit at with the quality of Christ I most demonstrate. If you demonstrated love, maybe you'll sit there with Mary who wiped the feet of Jesus. Maybe if you demonstrate, I wanted people delivered, maybe you'll sit next to Moses. I don't know. It's just all conjecture. But I do know this, that God is going to surprise you. God is going to surprise you. And as we sit there with a glorified body, perfect body, not overweight, not underweight, no gray hair, no wrinkles, we're going to sit there and tears will come down our face as we lift our hands, realizing, I don't deserve to be here. Because God wrote with His hand at Belshazzar's feast, but Jesus put His hand and He allowed it to be nailed. God used His hand there, and God used His hand through Christ to be nailed. Hallelujah. As we sit there, oh, we're not going to be like Belshazzar. We're going to realize, I'm only here by the grace of God. I'm not here by my goodness. I'm not here by my works. I'm not here because I'm smart. I'm not here because I've accomplished anything on the earth. The only thing that you and I will do at that marriage day will be so full of joy, so thankful to God that we got there. And after the feast, Jesus Himself will start handing out the keys to your mansion. He'll start handing out the reward for eternity. 5 cities, 10 cities, no cities, whatever the case may be. That throughout eternity, the vastness of God's kindness will be revealed to us according to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me give you 4 things that matter right now about this. Well, it's in the future, but they matter right now. To put things off in the future is an excuse. One day I'll get to church. One day I'll serve. One day I get. Those are excuses. Don't put them off, you see. That's the spirit of Belshazzar's feast. Let me give you 4 things. We're going to close. What matters quickly about the invitation to this wedding feast is this. Number one, respond quickly. We don't know what the next day may bring. When the Spirit of God moves, that's when you respond. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said to thee, thy face will I seek. The Spirit of the Lord shall not always strive with man. Respond quickly. Number 2, prepare every day. The Bible says in Revelation, the bride has made herself ready. Ain't nobody can make us ready but ourselves. Ain't no preacher can make you ready. Ain't no pew in church building can make us ready. It's us working out your own salvation. Respond quickly. Prepare every day. The 3rd thing, invite someone to the feast. You are my witnesses. Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you shall be my witness. Everywhere I go, I try to take the church card, a little card. I give it to this one, give it to that one. You have a good church? Hey, how you doing? God bless you. Some take it. And some look excited. Some don't. Doesn't matter. I said it doesn't matter. Because God only blesses what I sow. He doesn't bless what I think. Well, I wish the whole world would be saved. But when's the last time you invited somebody to pass the track out? Oh, 5 years. Okay, well, you really don't want the world to be saved that much. Because, listen, one life is worth me taking the effort. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I said, I don't want anybody to go. Respond quickly. Prepare every day. Every day prepare. Well, some days are harder than others. I understand. I live in this world too. Someday I don't feel like it. I understand. Because feelings are subjective. What? to environment and senses. I must have factual truth first, faith, and then my feelings. 100 times you won't feel like praying. 100 times you won't feel like coming to church. 100 times you won't feel like witnessing. 100 times you won't feel like giving. That is our carnal nature that Jesus came to crucify in our life. Respond quickly, prepare every day, invite others. And the last one, get excited. I said get excited. Yeah. We'll say it again. This side didn't get it. Get excited. We're not going to a funeral. We're not going to a stuffy church service. We're not going to the family reunion, sometimes a good sign. We are going to a banqueting feast. He brought me to his banqueting table. And his banner over me was love. Love, sir. Love, man. Man, love is going to be the banner. There'll be a great banner of hundreds of miles, maybe over the whole marriage. It'll just say, love. For God demonstrated his love in this, that he sent Jesus Christ for us. And at that moment, when the Lord Jesus stands and holds his arm out to start the marriage feast, my friend, there ain't nothing on this earth. There's no sin. There's no offense. There's no hatred. There's no whatever to miss that feast. And then he'll say, well done. A great, well done, that faithful servant. And you know, they estimate between 95 and 105 billion have lived and died since Adam. I don't know how many billion will be up in heaven. I can't even picture 1 billion people. I can't picture 1 million people sitting down for a wedding. It's going to be glorious. Get excited. I said get excited.
Amen.
You know, there's something about faith and excitement that go together. If I'm not excited about God, my faith's not going to work. The zeal of thine house has consumed me, Jesus said. Get all excited. Tell somebody, Andre Crouch saying, that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. How do you get excited? Got to take our eyes off the temporary. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. We've got to get our eyes on off the problems, off the setbacks, and refigure our understanding that he called me to be part of his own. Belshazzar, missed opportunity. You can't come back. Because God holds us accountable to what we know. You knew this. You knew this. You've heard this preach. You've known this. God help us for our inconsistencies of knowledge not being processed to put into a faith-filled life. But you know, if you know Jesus Christ today, we're not in his Belshazzar's feast. The day of judgment is over for you as far as where we're going. Place that we need to get excited. I know that the ladies, when they're about ready to get married, they just get so excited. The man's trying to figure out how to pay for everything. The mother-in-laws get excited. But interesting thing about the Jewish wedding in the parable of the 10 virgins plays it out. The Jewish wedding, it wasn't about the bride. It was about the groom. The groom would come and get the bride. She was prepared
still about Jesus.
I know he loves the bride. Isn't it about the girl? Hasn't he done it? Church isn't about you and I. It's about the groom. The why he would pick us up when we didn't want him. Why he would pursue us when time and time again we turned from him. But he had set his love upon you. Love is more powerful than sin and rebellion. Greatest power force because God is love. What matters to us today as we close, respond quickly. Prepare every day. Invite someone. Get all excited because we're going to be there. Your name will be right there where you see. As Kathy maybe is sitting there, she looks across. What's your name? I'm Ruth. And as Michael sits there and he looks across, and he says, who are you? Pastor, I don't want to be so spiritually minded, I have no earthly good. I don't agree with that statement. Our problem is we're not spiritually minded enough. Spiritually minded enough doesn't mean I go around acting weird. It means my mind is full of the Word of God. Amen? You want the right Church of Petersburg to move on? Let me tell you a little hint. No church goes anywhere without momentum. Momentum can only be established not only by faithfulness, but by excitement. That's why we need young people. Because they have an excitement maybe some of us have lost. Oh, I'm not talking about being excited about pews. To be excited about the very essence that God would meet people at the altar and take them from hell to heaven. The very prospect that God will meet people at the altar and heal them instantly of cancer. Let's get excited. Your name's there. Hallelujah. That'll get you through surf storms. It'll get you through loneliness. It'll get you through man when all men forsake. Doesn't matter. What matters, I have my wedding garment on, the righteousness of Christ, and I'm seated. If we're already seated in heavenly places, it's already done. And when the Lord calls you home, or he returns, there'll be two angels that will speak your name to you. They already know you. And they will walk you to the courts of God. Find your place. And if you go before I do, I don't know if you can pray in heaven or something. Just tell the angels, don't listen to his jokes. They're not funny. Amen. Can we stand up this morning? Give God a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. If you watch your faith, my question is, sir, do you have a response to the invitation of God? Or are you living your life like Belshazzar, praising the gods of money and career and ambition and sex, all idolatry? With one prayer, you can change from hell to heaven. You can know that you know, sir. It is a greater assurance, better than the stock market or any insurance policy. You can know today, I'm going to heaven. If that's you, I'd like you to pray this from your heart. That's right. Right there in your home. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. All sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for being my Savior. In Jesus' name. You prayed that. Visit our website, rockchurchofpetersburg.org. I want to encourage you to get out of your house. Come to church. I invite you to come to our resurrection service on Easter Sunday. Don't fear. God's with you. Come. Enjoy the presence of God and the fellowship of His people. It's time to come out, to go in, and be encouraged. May God bless you, keep you. Remember, get all excited. Tell somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Give the Lord a shout.